America leads the world in medicine development. It matters. We get new medicines first, nearly 3 years faster. 5 million Americans go to work because we make medicines here at home. And not relying on other countries keeps us safe. But China is racing to overtake us. Will we let them, or will we choose to stay ahead? When America leads, America cures. Let's tell Washington to keep us in the lead.
Learn how at americacures.com. Paid for by Pharma.
The people who run the banks don't trust the banks, but they don't want you to know that.
This is the Epic Real Estate Podcast, contrarian takes on money, housing, and policy without the guru nonsense.
Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Let's go.
And we regret that people have lost money. And whatever we did, whatever the standards of the time were, it didn't work out well.
You created the mess we're in, and now you're saying, sorry.
And look, you've got 90 days before a massive rules change. I mean, the rules meant for protecting your money at the bank, they changed for good. You see, last Wednesday, the people in charge of your bank's safety rules, they held a vote. They decided that you can handle more risk, and they didn't even ask you. It was their discretion about what you can tolerate. What's crazier is where you stood before they even held the vote. You know how you assume your money is safe if something goes wrong at the bank? For every $100 the government promises to protect, they've got $1.17 set aside. $1.17 for $100. That was your safety net before last Wednesday. And they looked at that and they decided you have too much net. And not a single news network covered it. So I pulled the documents for you, all of them. I pulled the vote, the fine print, the math, everything. And what I found isn't just one problem. It's four layers of exposure sitting on top of your checking account, your 401k, and the deed to your house right now. I'll take you through all four. And if you have a bank account in the United States, any bank account, this applies to you. Layer one, your money. It's not there. In March 2020, the Federal Reserve reduced the reserve requirement for banks to zero. That means your bank is not legally required to keep a single dollar of your deposit on hand. Not one. Think of it like a parking garage. You pull your car in, you think it's parked, but the garage has zero requirement to keep your car in the spot or even in the garage. Instead, they're renting it out as an Uber while you sleep. And then when you come back for your car, you're depending on enough other cars at least being returned at the exact same time for the garage to hand you a set of keys. That's your checking account right now. That rule changed in 2020 and was never changed back. That's layer one. Layer two, if the bank fails, your money bails it out. You see, in 2008, the government bailed out the banks with $700 billion of your tax dollars. People were furious. So Congress passed Dodd-Frank and said, never again. No more taxpayer bailouts. Sounds great, right? Well, here's what they replaced it with. Now, if a major bank fails, instead of using taxpayer money, the bank rescues itself using money from its own depositors and bondholders. Still your money, just skips the tax man this time. And this is what they call a bail-in. And this part matters. You see, when you put cash in a bank, you become what they call an unsecured creditor. That's the legal term for your checking account. You gave them cash, they gave you a receipt, but they did not give you a guarantee. Yeah, but what about the FDIC, right? I'm glad you asked. Below $250,000, the FDIC is supposed to have your back. And to be fair, they've covered every insured depositor since 1933. That's real. They've honored their agreement. But remember that $1.17 from earlier? The FDIC holds about $129 billion. The deposits they insure, over $10 trillion. That's $1.17 for every $100 they've promised to protect. That's not insurance. That's a hope and a prayer that it doesn't all come down at once. And after three massive bank failures in 2023, the FDIC had to borrow $93 billion just to cover the damage. They had to borrow money to cover the insurance that they sold you. So your money isn't there. And if things go wrong, it's your money that rescues the bank. But then there's this. Even in that rescue, you're not first in line for your own money. And that brings us to layer three. Wall Street gets paid before you do. You see, under Dodd-Frank, derivative contracts, the bets banks make on Wall Street, legally get special treatment in resolution. And that makes the pecking order far messier than most depositors realize. Meaning, if a bank goes into that resolution process, the casino chips get paid before your savings account. J.P. Morgan alone holds roughly $58 trillion in derivatives. The top 25 banks, over $200 trillion. You're standing in a line you didn't know existed, behind $200 trillion in Wall Street side bets. And before you say,
"No, Matt, that's not gonna happen. You're just trying to scare me."
Well, it already happened. You see, in March of 2013, depositors at the Bank of Cyprus woke up on a Saturday morning and found out that 47.5% of everything they had over the insured limit was gone, converted to shares of a failing bank. Banks closed for 2 weeks, ATMs emptied by Monday. Capital controls lasted years. And as of October 2025, 12 years later, victims are still filing reimbursement claims. That was an EU member state with a central bank, with deposit insurance, with every promise you're hearing right now.
See, there you go, Matt, with that scare stuff again. That's Cyprus. That's not America.
Hey, fair point. But let me show you what America's own people said. On November 9th, 2022, the FDIC held a meeting. The room included the former president of Goldman Sachs, former heads of Citigroup and J.P. Morgan, and former Federal Reserve officials, recorded on their website. One member said, on camera, "People need to understand they can get bailed in, but you don't want a huge run on the institutions." And then Gary Cohn, Goldman Sachs for 25 years, former White House economic advisor, said this, "We want them to have full faith and confidence in the banking system. There's a select crowd of people on the institutional side, and if they want to understand this, they're going to find a way to understand it." So here it is decoded in plain English. The people who run the banks don't trust the banks, but they don't want you to know that, because if you figured it out, you'd move your money. And if enough people moved their money, the whole thing falls apart. So they keep it quiet and they count on you not looking. And honestly, they're probably right. Most people won't look. Most people will keep depositing their paychecks, keep trusting the logo on the building, and never read a single page of what we just went through. So if most people aren't paying attention, why would the banks give them a better deal? Well, they wouldn't. And they didn't. And that brings us to layer four. They just voted to take what's left. On March 19th, this year, 2026, the Federal Reserve, the FDIC, and a third agency called the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency voted on something called Basel III. You don't need to remember the name, but here's what it does. After the 2008 crash, regulators told the biggest banks in America, you have to keep more cash on hand as a cushion. If things go bad, that cushion absorbs the hit before depositors get hurt. That was the deal. You get to keep operating, but you hold more cash, just in case. Well, last Wednesday, they rewrote the deal. The new rules let the biggest banks hold less cash as a cushion. The very thing that was supposed to protect your deposits in a crisis just got reduced. They opened a 90-day comment period. When that closes in June, those rules, they get locked in. And that 90-day comment period, it's open right now at regulations.gov. Anyone could submit a comment. You, me, anyone. If you want to tell the regulators what you think about them reducing your protection, put it on the record. They're required by law to read it. Whether they listen, that's another story, but at least you can get it on the record. Okay, now let's play devil's advocate, because you might be thinking this, Matt, relax, the system, it's fine. Well, if it were, why would the smart money be running? Because here's what I see. Warren Buffett spent his final year as CEO of Berkshire Hathaway selling 465 million shares of Bank of America, 45% of his biggest bank holding, six straight quarters of selling. Then he handed the keys to his successor and walked away, leaving behind over $300 billion in cash. That's not how you retire. That's how you clear the building. Bank of America's own chief strategist just compared 2026 to the period between mid-2007 and mid-2008. And he laid out four tripwires. Oil over $100? Check. We're already there. Dollar index above 100? Check. S&P below 6,000 and the 30-year treasury above 5%? Both knocking on the door. Two tripped, two on the edge from their own guy. And in the middle of all that, the regulators looked at the system and said, let's loosen it up. Now let's add it all up. The reserve requirement is zero. The insurance fund is running on fumes. The people who are supposed to be adding protection just voted to remove it. And the smartest investor of the last 50 years looked at the whole thing and walked away with $300 billion in cash. Now, I've been doing real estate for almost 20 years. I've closed north of $50 million in deals. And in all of that time, I have never seen the people who run the banks and the people who regulate the banks moving in the same direction, away from the building, at the same time. Now, that doesn't mean a crisis is coming tomorrow. And I'm not your financial advisor, and I'm not a prophet, nor do I have a crystal ball. But when the fire department starts quietly moving their trucks to the next block, you should probably at least check your smoke detectors. And that's what the next 90 days are for, to consider this. First, know your number. Go to FDIC.gov and use their EDIE calculator. That's the Electronic Deposit Insurance Estimator. Enter every account at every bank. Find out exactly how much is covered and how much is hanging over the edge. If anything's over $250,000 at a single bank, split it up. Spread it out. That takes 10 minutes and it costs you nothing. Second, stop assuming cash in a bank is the safest place for it. Short-term treasury securities are backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government, not a fund with $1.17 behind every hundred. That's a different conversation than what your bank teller is having with you. And third, and this is the big one. Oh, and by the way, that 90-day comment period I mentioned, it's open right now at regulations.gov. And like I said, anyone can submit a comment. And so what I did for you to make it really easy is I put a template in the description below. You can copy it, paste it, add your own words, add your own flair and color, give them your own peace of mind if you want, and submit it. It takes 2 minutes. It might not change their minds, but hey, who knows? Maybe 1,000 comments from real depositors. Probably a lot harder to ignore than silence. Now, the third thing to consider, start thinking about where your assets actually sit and whose name is on them. Because the banking system is just one piece of what's breaking down right now. There are five more, and they're all compounding on each other.
If you've been grinding for deals and coming up empty, you're not alone. That's why we created a way for frustrated investors to finally get cash flowing income property without the hassle. Go to frustratedinvestor.com. And now, back to the show.
The Raleigh man says the deed to his home was taken from him. The deed no longer in his name, despite the man owning the home and still living there with his wife.
ADC News is reporting on it. So is Fox, NBC, CBS. People's houses are being stolen right out from underneath them. And it's remarkable how easy it actually is. Today, I'm going to show you the five documents homeowners are quietly filing so they're not the next headline victim. Five documents. Most of them are free, one afternoon, and your home equity becomes dramatically harder to reach by fraudsters, creditors, or, unbelievably, your own county. And I know that sounds like a lot of promise for one afternoon, so let me give you one right now. Go to your county's website and search Property Fraud Alert Signup. Most counties have it, free email notification. It alerts you within 24 hours if anyone records anything against your property. Deed, lien, transfer, anything. Takes 5 minutes. Costs nothing. That is document two. Here's what I haven't told you yet. There's a reason I'm starting there, because document two is the one that would have saved a retired teacher in Clark County $4,000 in legal fees. And it existed the entire time she was fighting to prove she still owned her own house. That story is where this really starts. Someone had forged a deed on her house, walked it into the county recorder's office, filed it, and the county accepted it. No questions asked. It was done. Told you it was easy. By the time she proved she still owned her own home, she was $4,000 in legal fees deep. The fraud alert program that would have caught it in 24 hours, it was free. It existed the whole time, and nobody told her about it. So here's where you stand right now. If you own your home, especially if it's paid off, you are the most attractive target on the block. Not the renter next door, not the guy with the underwater mortgage. No, you. Your paid off house isn't a fortress, it's an unguarded vault. And today, I'm gonna show you these five pieces of paper that virtually locks it up. In fact, I'm gonna give you all five. And I don't need your email address or anything like that. There's nothing to buy. I set up a public service website just for you with step-by-step instructions, downloads, and all. My gift to you. You know, Dave Ramsey built a career telling you to pay off your house. And for a broke 32-year-old drowning in consumer debt, that advice is right most of the time. Clean, simple, certainly would not hurt. But here's what Ramsey never tells you about the finish line. Once that mortgage is gone, once you've done the baby steps, had the debt-free scream and the celebration, your home now becomes the most exposed asset you own. Because here's what a paid-off house looks like to the wrong people. It's searchable in public records. The equity is visible. There's no lender lien on it protecting the ownership chain. And statistically, the owner is over 55, possibly living alone, and has never heard the words homestead declaration. And if they have, most likely don't know what it is or what it's for. And we'll begin there. Document number one, the homestead declaration. I'll use Nevada as an example because every state's a little different. You see, when you file a homestead declaration at your county recorder's office, state law protects up to $605,000 of your primary residence equity from most unsecured creditors. Medical bill collections, civil judgments, personal loan recovery firms, they cannot touch that equity. One page, notarized, filed at the recorder. Free in most states. But here's what it does not do. It doesn't stop mortgage foreclosure, doesn't stop the IRS. Those creditors, they've got their own lane entirely. But the judgment from the slip and fall lawsuit, the medical collection firm that just got a court order, that equity can become legally off limits before they ever find it. The number varies dramatically by state. Florida and Texas protect unlimited equity on your primary residence. And rumor has it, Diddy paid off his Florida home just before he was arrested. In the right state, it's a strategy. Ohio protects $136,100. Some states offer as little as $5,000. But most states have some version of the program, and most homeowners have never filed it. That's not an accident. That's a gap. Nobody profits from closing. Document two, the property fraud alert. Here's how the fraud playbook actually works. Scammers, they search public records for free and clear properties. Takes about 30 seconds online. They find older owners. They forge a deed. They walk it into the recorder's office, and the county accepts it because in most counties, documents are filed first and verified never. Then they either pull a hard money loan against your property or they try to just sell it outright. The sign up takes 5 minutes and costs nothing. Now, here's the part that should bother you. Your county has your name in their property records, and they've never once sent you a letter about this program. Not sure why that is, but there's probably a reason, and the answer would most likely be unsettling. Document three, enhanced title insurance. Your standard title insurance policy, it's rear facing. It covers defects that existed before you bought, forgery that happened before closing, hidden liens from a previous owner. It's a rear view mirror on a car that's still moving. An enhanced owner's policy faces forward. It covers forgery of documents after closing, identity theft transfers, fraudulent deed conveyances that happen next year or 5 years from now. And in most cases, it covers the legal fees to fight it, which can run $20,000, $40,000 or more. Most homeowners accepted whatever policy the title company put in front of them at the closing table without knowing that other options existed. That's worth one phone call this week. Ask your title company, is my current policy standard or enhanced? If it's standard, what does an upgrade cost? That's document three. And does it protect you from every fraudster? No, not really, but here's the part that smart homeowners are catching on to right now. Once the right filings, once all of those filings are in place, the more things that you file, you become a puzzle that's too expensive to assemble. Creditors, fraudsters, collection firms, they're running a business, and their business depends on easy targets, the low-hanging fruit. And when there are enough legal layers between your assets and whoever's looking, they move to the next house on the list. They always do. Now, document four. This one's specifically for your non-primary real estate, not your home. Rentals, investment properties, anything that isn't your homestead. And I'm talking about the LLC. And you can achieve a similar type of defense for your primary residence with a trust. They can both protect your property the same, but in very different ways. You see, when you own a property in your personal name as a sole proprietor, a judgment against you from anywhere for anything puts everything into the same legal pot. Your rental property, your savings, your car, one lawsuit, one pot, everything's on the table. A properly structured LLC, it creates a wall. A judgment against the LLC generally stays inside the LLC. A personal creditor coming after you personally generally cannot reach into the LLC's assets. Two separate pots with a legal wall in between. Now, where the trust is different, it merely conceals your identity. So the idea here is if they can't find your assets, they can't take your assets. And it's not uncommon to use them both together. But, and I'll say this once, a badly structured LLC is worse than no LLC. You need an operating agreement that actually separates the entities. You need the deed titled in the LLC's name. You need to treat it like a separate business, not a shell. Done right, it works. Done sloppily, it gives you false confidence and no actual protection. And that conversation belongs between you and an attorney who knows your state. And there's a link in the description that will help you walk through both the LLC and or trust conversation for your own state. Document 5, the tax redemption window. This is the one that should make you sit up. In 2023, a case called Tyler versus Hennepin County reached the Supreme Court. A 94-year-old woman in Minnesota fell behind on her property taxes. The county seized her condo, sold it, paid themselves the $15,000 in back taxes and penalties, and kept the remaining $25,000 in equity that was rightfully hers. 9 justices ruled unanimously that this was unconstitutional, which means before that ruling, counties were taking more than their fair share, not allegedly, on the record, and the Supreme Court had to step in and call it what it was. The ruling changed the law. States are now required to return surplus equity after a tax forfeiture sale. But here's where it gets uncomfortable. States are implementing this at wildly different speeds. Some haven't fully updated their statutes. I mean, some states haven't even started. And the redemption window, the period between which you can pay back taxes and reclaim your property, still has a deadline. And most people who need it don't find it until, well, that window has already closed. So the documents to watch: your county's tax delinquency notice, the notice of federal tax lien, if applicable, and your state's right of redemption timeline. It's not complicated, but it's timed. And here's the part that nobody mentions at closing. When a wealthy homeowner buys a property, their attorney files the homestead declaration before they leave the title company. It's a line item on the checklist. Not optional, just done. Their investment properties sit in entities. Their title policy gets negotiated, not accepted off the shelf. None of this requires a team of lawyers. It requires treating 5 pieces of paper as non-negotiable instead of optional. The gap between their outcome and yours, it's not money, it's just the checklist. And the advice you were handed, it stopped at the mortgage payoff. So here's what I want you to do, if you need to, if you want to. I put together this free resource for you. The link is down below in the description, or you can scan this QR code here on the screen right now. And you're going to find there step-by-step instructions for all 5 documents, downloadable forms where they're available. And I don't need your email address. There's nothing there to buy, just all the information in this video organized in a way so you can actually use it. And it's designed for someone who wants to handle this themselves this weekend. And if at some point you decide you do want some professional help taking it further, there are options for that too. But the DIY path, it's complete. Everything you need is there. Now, here's the part I didn't tell you at the top. These 5 documents, they matter on a normal day. They matter a lot more when the conditions around you are deteriorating. And right now, there are 6 separate systems failing in this country that look completely unrelated on the surface. Different stories, different headlines, different news cycles. But here's the thing, they're not separate, they're connected. And every single one of them has a price tag that's landing on your front doorstep. I mean, I'm talking about your gas bill, your Medicare, the deed to this house we just spent 10 minutes talking about how to protect. The window to file these documents, it's always been open. It just isn't open indefinitely.
And that wraps up the Epic Show. If you found this episode valuable, who else do you know that might too? There's a really good chance you know someone else who would. And when their name comes to mind, please share it with them and ask them to click the subscribe button when they get here, and we will take great care of them.
Yeah, yeah, we got cash flow. You didn't know, homeboy, we got cash flow.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. I don't know if you knew this, but anyone can get the same premium wireless for $15 a month plan that I've been enjoying. It's not just for celebrities. So do like I did and have one of your assistants switch you to Mint Mobile today. I'm told it's super easy to do at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.